for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, December the 27th, 2009. Don Andrews is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on emotions.
All right, are we ready for Brother Don? Absolutely. Brother Don Andrews.
From Lake Hamilton Bible Camp.
Our chief, he's our CMO, our chief maintenance officer. And now he's going to be, you said we could call you the garbage man too, because you're going to deal with some garbage this afternoon.
That is, okay. Hope so. I'm going to share on a subject I wrestled all afternoon with the Lord over. I didn't really want to. This was some information. It's kind of some technical information and some stuff about me. And there's other things sometimes I'd rather share. I'm going to kind of share on emotions. Something that's been a real tough thing for me over the years. Lord, I just want your presence to stay with us, Lord. I just felt your presence come down during worship all ago, and it's just been here, Lord. And Lord, just keep pouring out on us and pouring out on me, Lord, so that I can share what you want me to share, because I don't really think I can do very good on my own. And I know that if you're with me, I can do anything. So stay with me. I just thank you, Lord, and I just want to bind the right now the spirit of Satan, Lord, that hovers around, Lord, and tries to distract us and put us to sleep, and bind any evil spirits or anything that's in the room right now, Lord, and I tell them to go in your name, Jesus. Just move back outside the fence where you belong. In Jesus' name, right now. All right. I looked up emotions so that I'd have an idea how to put it in terms. And whenever you get into emotions, you can't separate the emotions from the body. They just kind of... Emotion is a mental and physiological state with a wide variety of feelings, thoughts, and behavior. So as I was studying, I found out I couldn't separate them out. They just, one affected the other. And then in the end, it was like a bad circle. What it did to you would circle back and affect your emotions again. Because the state that your body came out of, and I'm going to kind of talk on negative emotions, the things that happened to you whenever out of the negative emotions really affected the health of your body and your state of mind and how your thought processes even worked. And it was really good for me because I look back on my life and I was angry most of my life. I asked my wife, "Get back in the car, you're going to go to jail." That kind of thing, you know. Come out of that place, you're going to go to jail. Don't kill him, you're going to go to jail. You know, that's kind of the way I was. When I finally got mad, I had deep-seated anger that was like two people. I had this real quiet guy that on top, but there was this raging anger inside that I remember there was a time even after I started coming back to the Lord that I was so angry I would be awake for two or three days at a time. I couldn't sleep. And I finally did, and I finally got so tired I had to sleep. I was working hours just for something to do and to keep me awake because I didn't want to go to sleep because I knew as soon as I got rested it'd start all over again. I liked an exhausted state because I couldn't be as that angry. It couldn't overcome me like it did before. And you know, hooked to anger is suicide and death and murder, all that stuff. And all that was in me. I had a really tight hold on it, but sometimes it would escape. Okay, I got down here. They're all located to this as far as in a natural emotions affect us, our feelings, thoughts, and behavior, but they affect our spiritual development as well as those other things. They affected mine quite a bit because the enemy had such a hold on me, I couldn't come up out of those things to function normally all the time, you know. Because even if you're in a board meeting, and things are not going your way, or even threatening your honesty, or however you want to call it, you know, those things are going to control you. And when I was coming up and growing up in a church when I was real young, I've seen them get violent in front of the church, and these are Pentecostal people over political things in the church that they couldn't agree on, and I watched all that stuff, so in the end, at first I thought all that expression was kind of normal. I kind of didn't think so, but I thought so at the same time, and I knew that I had that same problem even from real young. Emotions are subjective experiences, often associated with mood, temperament, personality, and disposition. And we know that all that starts way back there. Mine started way back there. Now, I'm going to say this because I know it to be true, because I experienced it, and I know how that works. I had those problems till I got in my early 20s, maybe my late teens. And then I started taking drugs. So when I took drugs, it's like it tears the lid off. It tears the lid off of your emotions and lets it makes them really uncontrollable after a while. If you get the wrong drug, it makes it even worse. So what you had under control, what I had under control, started just, you know, blowing out on everybody in a way. When the things would come, I couldn't keep it under wraps anymore. Because I had lost control through, even when I was not high, I could not keep it under control. Because they had already ripped the you know, seam in my control. Okay, English word emotion derived from the French word, however you emovoi or however you pronounce it, based on the Latin emovere, it means out. And means move, so it's related to motivation. So our emotions are linked to our motivation, what motivates us in life. And some of us that have had, I'd say, emotional problems or emotional things happening or things have happened to us that give us extreme emotions, we're motivated. They motivate us to do things we wouldn't normally do. Hopefully they start motivating us to do things we're supposed to do. God starts bringing our emotions into control, into His control, and then our motivations change. Because without God, our motivations are for the world and things of the world. And whenever He gets a hold of those things and they come into a spiritual hold and a spiritual place, they start operating better and correctly. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about health, the hypothalamus gland particularly, because it really is the gland in the body that is affected by emotions, and it's the gland in the body that actually circulates all the chemicals, all the hormones, and everything to every, mostly even to the autonomic nervous system and all those parts of our body, the heart, the liver, the kidneys, anything that moves automatically, it actually is in control of that with the pituitary gland and a couple other glands. And whenever our emotions are in really bad shape, our health tends to be in really bad shape because it affects that gland and that gland affects the body. There's a lot of things like serotonin and adrenaline and all those things that, you know, serotonin is the one thing that makes us feel good. You know, and adrenaline is the one thing that strengthens us, gives us synergy. Actually, sometimes, what do you call it? Well, you could call it that, but the word I'm looking for is it actually, enhances our emotions because of how it is. Fight or flight's a term they use, but it that's what usually causes adrenaline to happen. We get in the corner. But adrenaline itself then enhances either the fight or the flight, or whatever emotion that we're going to try to deal with the problem. It gives us boldness or whatever, and strengthens us, gives us energy. It'll increase our anger, increase our heart rate, increase our blood pressure. And what happens, and I'll just say this, and since we're on this subject, what happens is when we're always in that agitated state, we're always producing that adrenaline and producing those things, but there's no place for it to go. So it starts damaging the body and causing all these other drugs and stuff. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know all of it. I just have read some, but it causes all these other things to start happening, indigestion, diabetes, all this stuff. It starts getting our drug and hormone complex in our body starts getting haywire because our body thinks we're doing something that it's not. And so, all right, I'll get away from that for a minute. To relate, distinction between emotion and results of emotion is principally behaviors and emotional expressions. Behaviors are the results. Emotional expressions are what causes the behaviors. I got some scriptures here, but I'm going to go on a little bit before I get into that. But Terry was just saying people often behave in certain ways that are direct result of their emotional state, such as crying, fighting, or fleeting. I was just thinking a while ago, there's three states. There's fight or flight, there's resistance, and there's exhaustion. I thought over this, I was trying to work my way through this and sharing this, and I think I'm in the exhaustion stage now. My resistance went out and gave out on me a while back. So I thought, oh well, I'll do it. Okay, this is just a thought, and I'm going to cover a lot of other stuff, but just something to think about as we go. If we can have the emotion without the corresponding result, then it shows that our soul is maybe changing and the spirit is taking control of the reaction to what is producing these emotions. So if we can be in a stressor situation that would normally produce adrenaline and all these other things that come from a stressor situation and take us into fight or flight or resistance or whatever, if we get things adjusted right and walk in the Spirit, those results won't be happening to us. Because it's like, say, if you had a really bad relationship with one of your parents or your brothers and sisters, and every time you met, you say these things to each other, and it escalates, and what you normally do. But when the Spirit of God got a hold of you, you walk in a room, and they say this thing that normally just you're going to get them, you just like, well, it's not worth the trouble. It just passes by you. It passes through you. It passes over you. It just doesn't affect you anymore. However it is that you normally get affected by it, you just, maybe a love expression comes back by then. Maybe there's love pours out of you and you say something really nice to them instead. And it doesn't mean they're going to say the right thing to you after that again. They're going to try again. But as we move deeper into the spiritual realm and the Spirit is taking over these things, our responses are dictated by the life of Jesus in us, not by the old self that used to run our bodies. It might even be a shock to us the first time it happens. I know it's happened to me a lot of times in confrontations, those things would rise up in me too. And after the Lord had done some dealing with me and I'll tell you the truth about it, you may have to walk into the decision and bite your tongue a couple of times. You might just have to let it go by, as you experience that, because there's some place in this, and I'll just say this, and I'm probably jumping around, and I'm sorry, but it's kind of the way I am. You have decisions in this to make yourself. You have the life of Jesus in you, but you can go with Him or you can go with yourself. As I see it for myself, as I move deeper into I call it eternity because that's where we're going. These things are easier to decide for. Pretty soon, we don't even have to make a conscious decision. We just do it, and that's a really nice place to be. We can go, because I know I can walk into my family's in the same situations I used to walk in. And I was always really uptight, and it doesn't matter anymore. I'm just really free in that. And places that I used to go that used to really get me strung uptight. Don't do that to me anymore. So as we move into these places in Jesus that He's got for us, and we start, and He tells me the first few times, take a stand. They'll come up and do something to me, and He tells me, you can't react to that. Just keep your mouth shut. Because sometimes that's all you can do. That's all you can do. But he's working these things out. And I'm really kind of talking about anger and anxiety down that line, because that's what affects your gland, your hormones, and the chemicals that flow in your body. And I'm just kind of approaching it as far as the information side of it is, laying a foundation, I guess. Okay, our emotional experience is somewhat dependent on those things passed down the ancestral line and the present that we really don't remember, our early childhood. Those things set up a lot of what comes later. I know that I used to look back at how my life started in school and stuff, and I thought, how did I, from there, because I know what I used to be kind of like as a little boy, and I thought, how did I get to this man that was so messed up? Because I really never had a really bad childhood in the sense of bad. I mean, I had a really tough dad, and I didn't ever feel love, but at the same time, I wasn't really super radical out there. I felt protected to a certain, and like the world wasn't going to overwhelm me as a little boy. But somehow or other, between that time and I used to ask the Lord, why am I like this? Because I don't see why I would wind up like this, except for a couple of bad decisions. And as I came into deliverance, I started understanding that, as I looked back, that a lot of that was already there in place. And I looked at my grandmother and I looked at my grandfather, and I thought, well, if I was like my grandmother, I can see why I'm like the problems I was having. And I've got, my grandfather was the opposite. He was very quiet, but some things were going on. And so I started realizing that a lot of that wasn't my fault, but it still had to be dealt with because it was producing what I was as I got older. If I could have known that back then, I probably would be all right now, and I wouldn't be having all this trouble, or I wouldn't have had all that trouble, but it happened. And I see, as God had done in my life, that He had done all that to produce what He's produced in me now. And I'm not saying that I'm wonderful or great, but I know Him. I would have never known Him like this if He hadn't done it to me, if He hadn't brought it through me. I would have never known. And I would do anything. I would do anything. I would give up anything to know Him like I know Him now, and like He's revealing Himself to me. I'd give anything. And I look back and I thank Him for it. I thank Him for it. Because He could have never brought what He brought to me. And I'm not saying that I'm greatly spiritual, but I know who He is. And I know what He's done. So He's brought me through all that. And He's starting to reveal to me now what has been happening in my life. I say now a lot of things He's done in me. My knees were starting to hurt me. My knees don't hurt me anymore. The other things, my back was hurting. My back's not hurting me anymore. He's taking that pressure off of me as He heals me and sets me free of all those old negative angers and frustrations and anxieties. You know, my heartburn and all that's gone away. All those things, because I'm the kind of person that holds all of my emotions in. I hold them in. And because of that, it tears my body apart. I'm not one to run out and get angry till you just really press me and press me. And then you better run. Because there's no in-between for me. Now, there is now. I don't even really get mad anymore. I don't know. There's a little bit there, but not anything like it used to be. I'm not having to control myself anymore like I used to. God has set me free of that. He's setting me free of that. I'll just add this before I go on. When I first came here, it was the first time that Doc prayed for me. I was over there, standing over there, and he says, "You got a macho man spirit." And I don't know what the macho man spirit, you know. And I was looking at him, and I thought, well, you know, and I had promised myself that God had asked me to do a lot of things earlier to break things in me. And I promised the Lord, I said, I don't care what you ask of me. I don't care what you want me to do. I will do it. I will do it because I want you, and I want those things broken in me. So we had a really big circle that morning, and he says, Doc, he come up to me and says, I want you to sing Jesus Loves Me for me. And I thought, Jesus loves me? In front of all these people? What a weird, you know, you think it's a weird way of thinking, but I said, you know, I don't sing Jesus Loves Me. And then I got to thinking, the Lord was telling me, do you love me? And I thought, well, yeah, I do. And so I started singing it. And I sang it once and then twice, and then Doc sang it with me the third time. And so the next morning we came back, we were in a circle again, and Doc says, "What do you want to pray about?" And I said, "I want to sing Jesus Loves Me." So I sang Jesus Loves Me. And it just really broke something as far as what God, you know, those things that God asked me to do. It just really broke them. And I think I lost my Macho Man spirit right there on the spot. You know, I think I did. Because things sure changed in me after that. You know, it really took a lot of stuff dropped off of me. Okay, emotions can be evolved for a particular function, such as keeping us safe, keeping us unharmed. You know, like me, you couldn't hurt me because I thought I had dual personalities because each one was so pronounced in me that I knew about, and I always let the one that could protect me be out front on me, and let it buffer everything that hit the other one inside. And it makes you tough after a while because that one that buffers in the front gets thicker and thicker and thicker and protects that other. And what's bad about the one that's kind of timid and small, it shrinks and gets less and less and less, and it doesn't come out as often. But God, He just started wiping that. Whenever He did that thing with Jesus Loves Me, it killed that one in the front. It killed that one in the front. And the one, that little one, just kind of went, whoosh, come out, because that's the one that has all the emotion. The one in the front was no emotion. It was just a shield and just knew how to deal with it without any feeling or thought or whatever. And that's bad because then you're kind of, you can do things you wouldn't normally do and have no remorse about it because that other fellow is so protected and covered. And then the next thing I said, which I was just explaining, it can build walls in different directions or certain directions for us and keep us from even knowing what an emotional experience is after a while. And what's bad about that too is that wall there, the one emotion that always seemed to radiate out from it was anger and violence. It was the easiest one that was part of that shield wall that was on the outside. There wasn't wasn't love or nothing expressed. It was just, it took a while to break through it because it was such a solid, thick wall, but what the expression that came out of it was anger and violence. I talked about trauma a little while back. I've got a teaching or a sharing or whatever you want to call the thing. The Lord gave me a kind of a view into trauma. And trauma is anything that it's an emotional experience that's so strong and so pervasive that when it hits you, it opens a door for the enemy to come in. And a lot of times in life, and even in these situations in my life, that there's been times that I really got pierced by a traumatic experience. And I had a lot of, I don't mean like near-death experiences of dying and seeing a white light or anything like that. I just had a lot of near, I was always into something that was always usually pretty dangerous. And there's been several times that I had seen my death coming, and I had pretty well resigned myself. Death didn't scare me much anymore. But there are still traumatic experiences and spirits enter in those times. Anytime that, even if it's your school, I know when I was real young and you get in a situation that you're not normally in when you're real young and you don't know what to do and you're traumatized by it, spirits enter in. I said in the teaching too, and the other half of that to the good side, God traumatizes us. Like me singing Jesus Loves Me or doing something that God asks us to do that's out of our ordinary, that challenges us to do something we wouldn't normally do, traumatizes us and God is able to pull that spirit out of us. You know, push it out, chase it out, pull it out. But it makes it possible for us to let down our guard, because whenever, I'm just telling you what I see, but whenever I was getting set free, I saw the fact that God traumatized me enough that I let down my defenses that I had built up against Him too. So He reached in there whenever He got the defenses down and pulled that out. And so I was able to be set free of it. And the one thing about that, it was so wonderful that you forget the trauma real quick. The other one, trauma, you don't. And there's a real healing that goes on after God traumatized you. He just heals it and makes it right and makes it good and makes it wonderful. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all ways. And I was a double-minded man, and I was very unstable. I couldn't think straight back then. All right, there's a bunch of stuff here that's kind of technical, but I'm just going to go to explain it like this. When we're born, and this is what the Lord's doing with me, because when I read it, I saw it. And He's doing it with everyone. We have a whole group of what they call complex emotions. And what happens is you have layers of emotions that build up. And they all, what they all do is they're not just, say you've got hatred, anger, whatever, and you've got those, and then you something else happens, and those are connected to those, kind of like that tree back there in a way. But just to say those ones, and you so those emotions build on another emotion, build on another emotion until it gets pretty complicated. So when God starts dealing with us, He starts binding a strong man, and then starts dealing with the other ones that come off of him, and it can get. It can take a while, is what I'm saying, I guess, to get completely delivered because there's so many in there, and they've diversified and gone out into such a fan of emotions and destructive behavior and things. I know it's taken me a while because every time I get delivered some of them, some more pop up. And I think, is this never going to end? And the Lord said, maybe not. So I said, okay. But as you go, and from my experience, as you go, it gets easier to say, have it. So when he first comes for it, you say, well, I don't know. I kind of like that one. It kind of does this for me. And it makes me feel like I have a right to feel this way or be that way. And I think I'll keep this one maybe. But now as he's come and taken more and more away, and I see how much better it is each time he does, when he comes and asks for one now, I say, okay, you have it. Have it. It's yours. If you want it, there must be something wrong with it. It must not be good for me. Not all of them are that easy, but most of them are getting that way. You know, my wife will come and tell me, you can't think that way. Mm-hmm. You can't say that. And I'll think, well, yes, I can. And I'll go sit down in the other room and think, well, maybe I can't. Maybe I shouldn't. So I give it up. So next time we get into that thing, I don't bring it up. I don't send it until it dies. It's got to die. But I let it die. And I'm telling you this way because I only know me real well. I only know how it happened with me. And the Lord says it happens pretty much the same with everybody. It may look a little different to them and their experience may be a little different, but in the end, it kind of looks the same. The only thing about me is I guess I had the benefit of so many. Or is that, I don't know if that's a benefit, but I had so many. It says here, for an example, interpersonal anger. Like you're angry at somebody, and disgust with that person can blend together to form contempt. So you get groups of emotions forming one major emotion, or parts of one. You know, so if that makes any more sense that way. Okay. I still am not going to use any scriptures much. I want to get through the explanation part. There's another way of looking at emotions, and that is focusing on why I feel a certain way. Could make some feeling situations complicated to follow. You know what I mean? It could be said that there are degrees of similarity between the emotions, which are emotions about emotions. And if you was to look at that, you would get in the realm of self-hatred. Because you have emotions and about something and you don't like your emotions, so you have emotions about the reason you don't like yourself for feeling that way. I've dealt with them because that one does, I think Tom says diabetes, and the other one is migraine headache. So those are just two of them. I'm sure there are more, but those, when self-hatred usually, and this is all caused by that same gland, the hypothalamus gland. So all that is because of the hormones and the chemicals that it's releasing into your body to do things. It causes those things to happen, or lack of. Okay, another important means of distinguishing emotions is concerns their occurrence in time. And sometimes distinguishing emotions for traumatic experiences is some emotions occur in a period of seconds and some of them over a period of time. The example they used was surprise or love. Surprise is an instantaneous split-second thing, or Fear, instant fear, instant anger. Fear is one that can happen instantly and cause a lot of problems. Love is a long, lingering emotion, or anything that has to do with care with somebody, or I'd say even building an emotion takes a long time. Let's see. It says here, a distinction then is made between emotion episodes and emotional dispositions. Dispositions are comparable to character traits. And that's one thing that the Lord was really dealing with me and showing me about was the fact that my emotional state is my character. You have a hard time differentiating the two after a while. Because you are what your emotional state is. Your emotional state is expressing itself through you. Especially if the enemy's got a hold of you, because that's his job and that's his objective, is to run you like that, and to run your emotions and to control you through them. For an example, an irritable person is generally disposed to feel irritation more easily or quicker than others do. That would make sense. It's a little too simple. All right, I'm going to leave that there. Just thought that was good enough explanation. Well, no, wait a second. When I was doing this, and when I started out doing this, I didn't get all this at first. I kind of hurried to get some of it just before I came up here because I wasn't going to really do this today. And then about 2 hours ago, I was going to do it. So that's why I'm a little disorganized, but I'm always disorganized anyway. But when it comes to this stuff, but since the Lord's been changing my emotional state, He's been changing my personality. And that was one thing that I had really, really, whenever He started talking about that, the emotions and building this fan of emotions that are interconnected and hold each other up. I started seeing that was my personality, and that's how I was. And as whenever God started diffusing all of that and setting me free from it, then I started changing. You know, you're not grouchy anymore. You don't say mean things that come out of your. You know, there's one thing about it. You know, emotions. You know, like. I say, well, we're going to go get this. Well, I hope it's not broken. Or, well, I hope it's there. Or they never show up. Or they never do right. Or you know, those kind of things. Those are personality traits, but they're emotions. And they dictate how we are. And so as God's been setting me free of those emotions, my personality is changing. Well, if you knew me a while back and you know me now, you'd say, boy, you've really changed. Because I guarantee I wouldn't be talking to you all. I wasn't that way. And other things. See, we'll go down. I want to cover a little bit more. But anyway, so I guess I'm saying this too because I'm hoping that those ones that are going through deliverance now will desire it because I'm trying to tell you what really happens in it whenever you're going through this, when God's setting you free. It has nothing to do with being delivered for fun's sake, so I feel really good about myself. It has to do with me being filled with the presence of Jesus, me being filled with Him, and all these things that are negative to the heavenlies has to be removed so that heaven can live in me and the glory of God can rest on me. So that's why I'm approaching it from this direction, because I see people come here to get delivered, and they well, go ahead and deliver me. You know, and I think, well, what do you mean? What do you want? What are you here for? And I don't mean that meanly. What are you here for? Do you want to be free and go out the door? Do you want to know Jesus? Do you want your old life back? God's not going to deliver you to give your old life back. He's got that new life for you. He's got that new life. And it ain't going to be, I hate that word. But it isn't going to be anything like the new one. At all. Nothing like it. And I used to think that was bad. Because there was things I wanted to have and things I liked and certain comfort to my life. Certain way. And the worst part is I wanted control of my life. And I see people here come for deliverance. Well, I just want to get this problem out of the way so I can have control of my life again. It doesn't work that way. This is a heavenly thing. And God is setting His church free so that they can worship Him and praise Him and enter into His presence. He wants to get us all in the Holy of Holies. He really does. And we aren't going to do it with all this stuff. I kind of run in there every once in a while. I think He might throw me out too. I don't know. But I try to get in there if I can. It's my objective. To know Him. To know Him is what this is all about. And then I'm going to explain a little bit here that this stuff is so damaging to your body. I mean, you know, the church, you know, I've been through a lot of sermons where they talk about us coming into spiritual life, that we're getting younger and our bodies are all healed and we're doing fine. And I just, you know, I think, well, okay. And I didn't realize that it's our emotional state that keeps us from that kind of life. A lot of it. I don't mean all of it, but a lot of it. Our body health has to do a lot with that. There's things, if we start investigating, we have injuries, but I have a lot of injuries from sports and motorcycles. I have broken bones everywhere, pulled muscles, torn ligaments. I had my nose broke 5 times. Had my leg broke, had my arms broke, had my knuckles broke, had my feet broke, had my head broke. Had all my teeth knocked loose. But God has healed all that stuff. It doesn't bother me much anymore. And as I've coming into deliverance and into what He's doing, my body feels better and better and better. Because those things, I'm talking about trauma again. Those are trauma. And when you traumatize the body, martial arts, I did that forever. And whenever I came here and Brother Landry prayed for me over that. And he started breaking all that. Because, you know, you could take, when you train in martial arts, you can take a baseball bat and you could hit me across the arms or the legs and it didn't hurt. And yet he started removing all the, in the spirit, all those bruises and traumatized areas that the enemy had entered into. I can't do that anymore. It was all gone and removed away. All that trauma was taken out. You know, great injury causes great piercing into the soul and spirit. And it, especially if you're knocked unconscious. It opens a real heavy doorway for the enemy to enter into. And I've been knocked unconscious several times too. Or close to it. I've been run over by cars twice. Don't ask me how I get in those situations, because I don't even figure it out now. Anyway. Emotion is related to a group of structures in the center of the brain called the limbic system. We're just going to kind of cover the hypothalamus and then not the rest of it. And just generally, I'm not that. I'd have to do a lot of studying to do it with real, real depth, and I think you'd all fall asleep. So don't do that. I might fall asleep. But I like to understand it a little bit, especially if it affects my spiritual life and my body related to my spiritual life. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." So it says, and this is kind of out of a technical manual. I got this, and I got some stuff out of another book that was more spiritually related. I'll try to cover it pretty quickly. I know it could get kind of slow if you're not careful. It's affected by positive and negative emotions, which have more of an effect on our health and mental well-being than we realize. Unforgiveness. I'm going to kind of talk about anger-related things, because I kind of started out in that mode with me, but not really. I guess the base. It's kind of hard to throw this stuff together the way it is. The base of it is going to wind up being resentment, because resentment is a real heavy carrier of all of them that'll really mess things up, because it's the extended emotion that carries for a long time. Bitterness, unforgiveness is kind of the strong man in the thing that starts it all out. It's like the root of bitterness, unforgiveness is. And that's where we make records of all the wrong things done to us. That's where we start remembering and writing them down in our mind or in our heart or in our soul. Someone we don't even know why after a while. Doc used to tell a story about a guy that had a dog, and this one really stuck with me, because they made a vote about rabies shots. Instead of having it every 3 years, they had it every 2 years. And the guy got so mad at Doc, he told him that he was going to get even with him somehow. And 20 years later, the guy's laying in the hospital with, I think, arthritis and cancer and some other stuff, and he was dying. And Doc was talking to him about it, and he said, all of a sudden, the guy like got a look in his eye and says, I remember that, what you did. I'm going to still get even with you somehow. And the guy's laying there dying. And he couldn't forgive him for something that simple. I'd be hoping that if I died of something, of my anger and my unforgiveness, that it was something more important than that. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." So, if we look back and think of someone that sticks in the back. You know, I've asked a lot of people, "I've forgiven everybody." I guess I'll do this way. "I've forgiven everybody." And I say, "Are you sure?" And, I've told the Lord I forgive him. I said, "Was there anybody that..." And this is what was done to me, because I know how that works. "Is there anybody, when I mention her name, something jumps inside of you? It brings kind of a..." And, yeah. And I said, "Well, yeah. Now, there's still a couple." And so I said, "You know, Jesus has to forgive them through you. You got to let him have it. Let him forgive them through you. A mental forgiveness is not going to go deep enough to..." You got to start. I'm not saying you don't start, but you got to give it to him, and he brings forgiveness through himself, through the Holy Spirit in you. And I think there's a real learning curve in how to give things to God. You know, it starts out small and has to build, and you have to learn how to give them to him. You have to learn about heavenly places and eternity and how it operates and how. And I think, like we've been learning about faith since we got here, I think faith has a lot to do with it, or I'd say belief that God's real and He can do it. Get past, "Well, I'm going to have faith," and quote a lot of scriptures, but believe He can do it. Because do you quote Him out of unbelief, or do you quote Him out of belief? Do you quote Him out of not having faith? You know, so God's trying to bring us into an awareness of how heaven operates and how we're supposed to operate in it. That's what this is all about, in a way. That's what deliverance is about, how the spiritual realm operates. You know, we kind of define it real small sometimes. "I just want to get delivered." But we're entering into, when I entered into it, I thought, I want to see how the spiritual realm operates, because I've had experiences with demons clear back when I was 6 years old. And God kept me through it. But I want to know how the Holy Spirit operates, and I want to know how His power operates, and that He really is stronger than the devil, because I only had confrontations and I only had experiences with Him. I didn't have them with the Lord like that. Or someone that sticks in the back of your mind. Or we still have reasons that they're not likable. "Well, yeah, I forgive them, but they got this problem. You know, they need to change. And I'm not going to really associate with them until they really change." The Lord told me something a long time ago about that kind of attitude, and Ada knows about it. When I really don't like somebody, I'm twice as nice to them. And I go out of my way to do favors for them. I don't always have good conversations with them, because I don't really talk a lot anyway when I'm out, but God has me treat them extra good, because that's how He breaks that in me. And pretty soon when I see them, they don't affect me anymore. And pretty soon I'm all right. And I can allow for the things that I thought I didn't like in them before. And I can allow them to be them. It's hard to allow people to be who they are. It's hard to not take offense. So unforgiveness starts out and it builds in us. It's a long range emotion. It's not surprise. Usually we might get surprised in the beginning, but we hold on to it and we develop into something truly big and so really someplace we can live full time. And then from unforgiveness, that takes us to resentment. We start resenting the person, start resenting the whatever it is. Okay, I got two things on resentment. I'm going to read this one, I'm going to read the other one, see if I can get it together. No, that's retaliation. Okay. In the resentment or bitterness, they have bitterness here, but I'm going to just do this one as resentment, because bitterness is kind of the whole thing in the end. We wind up with bitterness inside from the whole experience in the end. In the experience of a negative emotion, anger or hatred, for instance, felt as a result or real or imagined wrong. That's how resentment starts. Unforgiveness builds on it. I'm going to read that. Okay. Resentment is... No, I don't want that either. Okay, resentment can be triggered by an emotionally disturbing experience that is being felt again or relived in the mind. When the person feeling resentment is directing the emotion at himself, it appears as remorse. So once the unforgiveness happens, the experience happens, now into resentment. Resentment is starting to turn into deep-seated bitterness. And this is when it starts really affecting our bodies and our minds and everything in us. And it actually starts taking us away from the Lord in a hurry. We're no longer really able to pray anymore, communicate anymore. We might get us a false Jesus that we can pray to, because we start getting real religious if we can't reconcile it and we can't leave the church, because that's our life and we've been called to be there and all these other things. And anyway, we're directed toward the church, and we really, really kind of love Jesus. I think we do. I think we really want, but we can't get past this stuff, and pretty soon we build a false one on the side that we can say that it's really Him, but it's not, because we got to have something, and the real one's not talking to us anymore. So if the real one's not talking to us anymore, we got to have somebody to communicate, and it winds up being the enemy if we're not careful. Resentment can result from a variety of situations involving a perceived wrong done to an individual, and often are sparked by expressions of injustice or humiliation. We have perceived sometimes. That was the thing that God was dealing with me with whenever I was over here, was He really humiliated me. I was humiliated. But how I took it set me free of it. With the way that Jesus did it at me, my humiliation turned to victory. Because I didn't take it with unforgiveness or resentment. I didn't take it as a humiliation to harm me. I did it first because I took it from Doc. But after I got to thinking about it, I thought, well, if I don't, no big deal. But if there's really something there and I miss it, what am I going to do? If Jesus is really calling out to me and say, I'll change you if you'll do this, what am I going to do? I thought, can I humiliate myself and bring myself low enough to do that, so that if there really is something that He's got for me, it'll be mine. And I thought, I think I'll take a chance. I came all this way. So I did it. And the humiliation set me free, because it brought me to a place where I saw the freedom and I trusted Him. I trusted Him in that it wasn't the humiliation I thought it was going to be. I'm just saying that in comparison to humiliation that causes our downfall, when God brings us in and we think we're being destroyed, He's destroying that old thing that we are so He can bring in the new thing. His is done in love and the right way. And some people can't do it. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying this because I did it, but a lot of people cannot do it. They can't take that humiliation even from heaven. They can't take it. And they don't realize the return, the reward, and the healing that comes out of it. And of being set free. Do you want to love yourself? God loves you. When He does those things, He's releasing you from all that baggage that makes you where you don't love yourself. He's stripping you down to the bare you, where you can be loved, and He can love you. And He can reveal His love to you. That'd be even more important. Common sources of resentment include public humiliating incidents. I had a lot of those when I was young. So here's one, such as accepting negative treatment without voicing any protest. Now, in Jesus' realm, that's fine. In the world, it's not too good, especially if you're operating out of your own emotions. This was written without spiritual realm involved. I've got this out of a technical manual on this part. So they're not thinking spiritual life. Being an object of regular discrimination or prejudice, envy, jealousy, feeling used or taken advantage of by others, having achievements go unrecognized while others succeed without working as hard, by being emotionally rejected or denied by another person, being deliberately embarrassed or belittled by another person, being ignored or put down or scorned by another person. Those are all things that cause unforgiveness and cause resentment. Often resentment can begin early, as in the case of children. I resented my life. I told you that when I was sharing the other day, I told my dad, why was I born? It's not my fault. I'm this way, it's your fault because I was born. He said, I'm not taking responsibility for that. I'm not. I thought, you know, I was puzzled by that for a long time till I got older, and I thought, yeah, he's right. I can choose to be whatever I want to be. I can choose to be whatever I want to be. Because out of all the things that happened in my life and all the negative things, you know, in my own way, which wasn't really good, I pushed through it into success. You know, I pushed through it into success in the natural. Somehow, it wasn't all good because I did a lot of, you know, because I wasn't a confrontational kind of guy. Because of my confrontation was violence. So, knowing that I was a violent, confrontational person, I didn't argue. If it got to an argument, I had already hit you. Is that the way I was? Or have you by the throat? But I was not an argument. I mean, I could talk and discuss a little bit, but I could not argue. About three or four words into it, it was all over. So, I avoided arguing and confrontation. I figured a way to get through it and be quiet and get to really high places in the companies I worked for and all that without doing all that. I mean, I worked hard and I did good work, but that's not always the right, that don't always get you there, believe me. So, and whenever the Lord started dealing with me, He started stripping all that stuff away. He says, you can't do that anymore. And put my name on it. Oh, the Lord blessed me. He got me this over here. And then the Lord opened. One time I got a job as a supervisor, and then the Lord showed me how I got there. I thought, ooh, that wasn't good because I did it. I put His name on it. It wasn't very honest. I mean, it wasn't really evil or nothing, but I was manipulative. I'll put it that way. Signs of resentment. Unlike many other emotions, resentment does not have physical tags exclusively related to it that telegraph when a person is feeling this emotion. However, physical expressions associated with related emotions such as anger and jealousy may be exhibited, such as furrowed brows or bared teeth or rolling your eyes or... I was good at that one. Rolling your eyes or taking deep breaths or sighing real loud or... All those, there's a lot of expressions that can come out of not liking a situation or what's going on in a person. Resentment can be self-diagnosed by looking for signs such as the need for emotion regulation. I had a real need for emotion regulation. I just didn't realize it at the time. I just thought I was had it in control and I was doing better. Until God went pulled my control off, and whenever He did that, then this crazy guy came out. But there's one thing too about, and I'm going to say this on the side. I'm going to try not to drag this out too much longer. I'm not dragging it really. I really think it's important. The death of the flesh in my when God was bringing me out, He had me do a lot of things that were physical expressions because I wasn't that way. So, you know, one thing that, and I'll tell you about this one, I don't like it because it makes me cry every time, but the Lord started dealing with me about dancing. And I don't dance. I mean, I don't dance. And then we were going to this church over in Greenwood, and where the music was playing, and the piano snow was really good. And the Lord, and this voice spoke to me almost clearly and says, dance. I said, no, let's wait for the next song. Let's wait for the next song. And I said, so the next one come up, and then pretty soon it got down to, well, how about tonight? I'll do it tonight. And so it's like the Lord said to me, it just killed my heart. He says, won't you come dance with me? And I just, I couldn't say no anymore. I had to go. And after that, I was to dance every Sunday for 6 months. And pretty soon the pastor would kick us out after church and said, you guys, my wife's got to go home. She would play the piano and we'd all get together and sing and dance and we'd do it for an hour after church. And after a while, he kind of set me free of it. He didn't, because he knew that I pretty much do it any time he asked me. But I just couldn't get over it because I heard that voice so clear. So clear. Come and dance. Won't you come and dance with me? I thought, I couldn't say no to that. Anyways. I didn't bring one. No, there we go. So sometimes sometimes when you're doing, I'm bringing the differential. When God's asking you to do things, it's all right to do some expressions that you wouldn't normally do to set you free for spiritual things that He asks you to do. Because all the stuff that He asks you to do is going to affect people. It's going to affect you, and then it's going to affect those around you, whether you like it or not. Because sooner or later, it's going to be something that's going to change you, that you're going to pass down the line to somebody else that has the same need or that. Because if you've come through a lot and you've experienced it and I tell you, this works. I'm not telling you because I read it somewhere. I'm telling you because it happened to me. I can't share nothing with you that hasn't happened to me. How could I do that? I could tell you a story somebody else told me as an example, but how could I tell you this happens if it never happened to me? So I'm telling you this stuff happened to me. This stuff has been happening to me. And God says, share it. So that's why I'm sharing it. I don't try to think up things to share. He gives the stuff to me and says, share it. And then I think, well, how am I going to do that? So I'm just trying to share it as best I can. I'm hoping you get it. Okay, emotion regulation, such as faking happiness while with a person to cover up true feelings toward them, speaking in a sarcastic or demeaning way to or about the person. And that's veiled dislike, even at that. I've done that. I know it is. And it can also be diagnosed with the appearances of agitation or dejection-related emotions, and I've done that. I've been in those for a while at times. And I'll tell you about resentment and life for me. I resented my life. And I think it sometimes boils down to that. Are you going to if things aren't working right, you're going to resent your life. I resented my life from the time I was born. I wish I had never been born. And I didn't know God loved me. I didn't know it. I didn't think my dad. I knew my mom kind of loved me. I didn't think my dad loved me at all. I was a responsibility that I had to be fed and clothed, and that's what I felt. And otherwise, when my dad we got older and got to be teenagers, he'd ask my mom, "How come they don't want to go fishing with me?" I would now, but then, because I remember most of my fishing trips, all I was well, stupid. Can't you sit down? Stupid, you're making so much noise. Slap in the back of the head because you dropped something in the boat, you know, that kind of thing. I trusted my dad as far as taking care of me. I trusted him because I knew he would. I felt secure with him as far as that, but I didn't like being around him. I was telling my wife, and I tell you know, forgive me, Dad. But whenever he got a job on second shift and I didn't see him anymore, that was the best time of my life until I was grown, and that's terrible. It's terrible because I love him. And I wish I could go back and do it again. He's dead now. I wish I could go back. The last time I seen him, I didn't hate him anymore. And I loved him. But all that past stuff that and I knew he was remorseful to it too. He couldn't take it back because it was already done. So resentment's a bad thing. You know, you miss a lot of life if you're not careful. You miss the love of your parents, the love of your children, the love of your family, the love of your friends. And all these things are things that are happening to you and that have happened to me, and some of them are still happening to me. God's still cleaning me out. Resentment's a hard one to deal with because it comes off all that stuff that happens to us. The enemy catches us just right. We're in trouble. And he's good at that. He's got good timing. He's got great timing. Okay. Another one is agitation, dejection-related emotions, such as feeling inexplicably depressed or despondent, becoming angry for no apparent reason, having nightmares or disturbing daydreams about this person or the situation that you're really having resentment over. Now these are natural ones. I mean, some of these may not surface on you. You may not. You just might have this underlying resentment for them because they remind you of somebody that you don't really like. Or I know how they are. Or you might have some great discernment that you really think you have that you don't. You know, because if you have this discernment that makes you puts a wall up, then your discernment's kind of off because you're supposed to be available. And how can you be available if you won't have nothing to do with them? So you have to be careful of those things. I've had those. I know. Yeah, I think there's something really evil about them. I don't think I'm going to have anything to do with them. And I find out later that it was just my problem. it reminded me of something I didn't like or someone I didn't like before. And after I got through that, it was a lot different. Or you know, what's really bad is there's things in our when we're teenagers at school and when we're young, these people, dress, act, personality, it triggers those things that hurt you when you were in those places, and you instantly don't like them. You're instantly on guard because you haven't got rid of all those old hurts and all that old resentment. And it says here, resentment is most powerful when it is felt towards someone whom the individual is close to or intimate with. A lot of resentment against your wife. A lot of resentment for Ken. Me and my wife had a fairly stormy relationship in her early years. Fairly stormy. I'll just say this, and it's not true anymore, but she'd get so mad at me sometimes, she says, "I don't know why I married you. I don't love you. I never loved you." And she said that to me, and I was just like, well, okay. Bye. You know, I was that way. But God changed us both. Because when we got married, I was thinking about the Lord wanted me to share this, and I was saying, no, I don't want to share this, but I'm going to share it, I guess. When we first got married, I don't know if we were in love or not. I've known her since she's 12 years old, and I was about 17. And I knew her family. I met her family in church. And the only reason I married her is because she's the only person I know that had morals. Of all the people I ran around with, she's the only woman I knew that had morals. That doesn't mean she lived a real moral life, but she knew right and wrong. And all the other women I knew had no clue what right and wrong was. It was opportunity or self-fulfilling or whatever they were doing, but they had no morals. They would do anything to get what they wanted. And she wasn't like that. I used to think she was just a victim. She had no daddy. So when we got married, we were just friends. I knew that I could get along with her. We ran around together just as friends. We'd go places and do things as friends. So one day I was sitting there and I felt like I need to get married. I was almost 30 years old. I was 20, 28 or so, 27. And so I went and asked her to marry me. She said, "What do you want to marry me for?" And she just kind of caught her by surprise. And I said, "Well, I don't know. I just feel like we need to get married. I haven't got no real reason for it." And I said, "Well, we're friends." So she was kind of in and out for about a while. "I don't know if I want to marry you or not." Because she had about 3 other offers at the same time when I asked her. And they all had a lot more money than I did. I don't think I had a job then. And they all, you know, some of them were fairly rich. One guy, I think, owned a restaurant. The other guy owned an electronics company. And I owned an unemployment check. I really did. So when we got married, we had all that to go through. You know, I don't know if we either one of us knew what it was to love somebody, like, you know, and we did a lot of things to each other that hurt us. You know, we hurt each other with, and God had to do a lot of healing in us afterwards. You know, I had kids, and they came out right for some reason. I don't know why, but they did. We tried hard, but both of my kids are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is our first love. So, you know, I'm just grateful. My daughter-in-law, she's, you know, my son-in-law's dragging behind a little bit, but he's not got an attitude about any of it. He pretty much lets my daughter do whatever she wants to do, and he goes with her a lot. So he's coming along. But anyway, I'm saying that is resentment could have ruined our lives if we didn't let Jesus come between us. Resentment could have destroyed us, because I guarantee you we did a lot of mean things to each other. Really mean things that I don't, you know, people get divorced over, you know. And God brought us through. Ralph don't know too much about it. Some of this was before he was aware of it and could know. By the time he was old enough to know what was going on, we had reconciled a lot of it. And we hadn't done away with it, but we had learned to live with each other without fighting all the time. And we were real good in front of the kids. Our motto was, is we don't fight in front of the kids and we don't disagree. If one says, that's the way it is, that's the way it is. And but there was still that. And we were still miserable. Yeah, we were miserable. Because we didn't have Jesus. And we went to church and we were looking. And we were saved and supposedly filled with the Holy Spirit. But we were looking for that reality that brought peace to our hearts. You know, when we were hungry for that, we couldn't rest till we found it. We wanted all that stuff out of our lives, because I knew that I couldn't live with that, and she couldn't either. And she had, even over all that stuff, she had a nervous breakdown for a while. And but through that, that's when God, you know, she said, "I'm going to die." And I said, "No, you're not. Get up. Come in here." And then she met Richard Tate. We went to his church for a long time, and God just really changed our lives at his home church. Really changed our lives. And we got to know Jesus. I got to know Him. That He loved. That He just didn't want me to be righteous and holy. And He does, but He loves me. And I got to know that He was a God of love. And as my first, His first desire for me was for me to know Him in His fullness. And I've never been able to get away from that. Now, through all the things I go, deliverance and everything that we do is to know Him in His fullness. To know who He is. Have Him permeate our lives. Anyway, let me continue on. We're getting late. Now, they've got ways of dealing with resentment, and we don't deal with them that way. What they do is they give you a list of check-off things, and you go through the list. And if you get to the end, you found you still got resentment, you go back to number one and start over again. There you go. That one kind of got me. I thought, that doesn't sound too good. Yeah, it says, the last thing says, visualize a future without the negative impact of resentment. And then it says, if resentful feelings still linger, return to step one and begin again. I tried that. Okay. Now I'm going to relate this a little bit to health. There's a lot of things that I could still share on this. I got a bunch of stuff, but I'm going to go over here and just go over the hypothalamus gland a little bit because I want to relate this to healing. You know, there's just straight healing. God actually is doing a deliverance, but there's a straight healing. But that depends on your retaining your healing and how you do it. And, you know, God does a healing on you, not just to heal you so you can go get a better job or play baseball better. Or, you know, He's healing you to reveal Himself to you. He's healing to let you know that I'm really real and I have power to change things and I have power to do things. And like I was sharing about that room, but could you love me without that? Could you love me without that? Could you receive my fullness without that? Do I have to do that? Is that the only thing that'll make me real? That's why I want to know Him without all that. I don't want Him to have to bribe me. And that's what I feel like I'm doing when I say, "Oh, do this for me, Lord, and I'll love You more." You know, I feel like I'm trying to bribe Him, and I just want to know Him without all that. And He's doing that for me. I'm not saying that I won't take healing. Don't get me wrong. I'll take all I can get. But that's not my first priority, because I know that if I'm right with Him, He's going to give me the rest. It's like wanting everything to work out and be happy, but I haven't got Jesus, and it all works out and I'm happy, but I still don't have Jesus. I'd rather be in a miserable place and have Him than to be happy and not, because I know I'm not going to really be happy after a while. If you understand what I'm meaning. Some people don't understand that. Because I'd point at you right now and say, produce. 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 Produce God in you right now. Let Him produce Himself in you right now. Just sitting there, driving down the road in your car. Let Him produce Himself in you. Can you do it? That's what He's saying to His people today. Let me produce Myself in you without any outside stimuli. Get to know Me. Come into heaven with Me. Come into eternity with Me. And I get so excited about that because I can feel that drawing and that pulling. And that surrendering of my flesh to Him. And the more I surrender, the deeper He pulls me. I'm not trying to sound real spiritual either. I'm just saying that it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. The hypothalamus gland, I'm going to go over this a little bit. I shouldn't take but a couple minutes, and I'll do a quick. We're going to do a quick group deliverance, and then we'll be free. It controls and integrates the autonomic nervous system. And that's the one the autonomic nervous system is the one that operates all the involuntary muscles, all the heart, liver, kidneys, all those things that operates on its own without your conscious effort. But I think they call them the viscera. The viscera. V-I-S-C-E-R-A, I think. It controls and integrates the autonomic nervous system, which stimulates smooth muscle and regulates the rate of contraction of cardiac muscle and controls the secretions of many glands. Through the autonomic nervous system, the hypothalamus is the main regulator, and that's the visceral activities. That's all the ones that that they were just talking about, autonomic. It regulates heart rate, movement of food through the digestive tract, and contractions of the urinary bladder. And it says in number two here, it says, this is what I got out of a manual on what the hypothalamus gland does. It is involved in the reception of sensory impulses from the viscera. So the viscera tells all those involuntary muscles, tell you, I'm in this state, this is what's happening to me, I need this chemical, that chemical to operate. The hypothalamus and the pituitary gland reads all that like a computer and sends back the right stuff. It is the principal intermediary between the nervous system and the endocrine system. And the endocrine system is kind of that same thing. The two major control systems of the body, the hypothalamus lies just above the pituitary, the main endocrine gland. When the hypothalamus detects certain changes in the body, it releases chemicals called regulating factors that stimulate or inhibit the anterior pituitary gland, or stimulates the pituitary gland, which that really has a lot to do with blood sugar control and a bunch of other things, growth, height, all kinds of stuff. I think it even somehow regulates adrenaline and things too at the same time. Or holds back hormones that regulate carbohydrates, fats, proteins, certain ions, and sexual functions. It is a center of the mind-over-body phenomenon. When the cerebral cortex interprets strong emotions, this is where we're coming in, kind of. Where it interprets strong emotions, it often sends impulses along tracks that connect the cortex with the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus then directs the impulses via the autonomic nervous system and releases chemicals that stimulate the anterior pituitary gland. The result can be a wide range of changes in body activities. For instance, when you panic, impulses leave the hypothalamus to stimulate your heart to beat faster. Likewise, continued psychological stress can produce long-term abnormalities in body function that result in serious illness. These are called psychosomatic disorders. Psychosomatic disorders are real. We know they're associated with spiritual disorders. They kind of go, the doctor will call them psychosomatic, we call them spiritual problems. It controls normal temperature. Certain cells of the hypothalamus serve as a thermostat, a mechanism sensitive to changes in temperature. If blood flowing through the hypothalamus is above normal temperature, it just explains some of it, about cooling the body. It regulates food intake through two centers. The feeding center is stimulated by hunger sensations. It controls what we eat, if we want to eat, if we're full, if we're not full. It contains a thirst center that tells us when we're thirsty and when we're not thirsty. And it also contains a part that controls our waking and sleeping patterns. Okay, this note was in the book that this Christian man wrote. He says, let me say this to you. The hypothalamus gland is the facilitator and the originator of the following life circumstances. All expressions of fear, anxiety, stress, tension, panic, panic attacks, phobias, rage, anger, and aggression. These are released and facilitated or operated by this one gland. It only responds to us emotionally and spiritually. The hypothalamus is called the brain of the endocrine system, but it is not a brain, it is a gland. It is a responder to the environment of our lives. It will not only produce what is happening deep within the recesses of our soul and spirit. So I'm just saying that to tell you that now you know where it happens at, and that your emotions, here's one that I want to express. Like, they're talking about a high stressor. Like, if you're having panic attacks, the enemy's got a hold of you, and this spirit of fear is on you, you're having panic attacks. So all your heart rate's faster, your adrenaline's coming out, your stomach's putting out stomach acid, your anxiety's going over there, the blood veins in your brain are dilating, and things are happening and what happens is it does it in a prolonged time, abnormal time, and so pretty soon it starts stressing all those parts of your body, your heart, your brain, your arteries, your vessels, blood vessels. It can also cause problems with your kidneys and liver and doing what they're supposed to do. You poison yourself. They can change the way it operates, how it cleans your blood system, how it cleans your body system. So in deliverance, that's what we're dealing with. You know, deliverance just doesn't set you free mentally, spiritually. It sets you free physically. It's a well-rounded thing. It doesn't leave any part of your human anatomy and spiritual and soul anatomy out. And that's, I guess, one of the bottom line things that I'm trying to say, and God was saying to me, let me deliver you so you can be healthy. You can have a healthy spiritual life, a healthy mental life, and a healthy body life. And you won't be antagonized by all those demons that normally affect everybody else. You'd be free. Now, I like this. This is forgiveness. This is forgiveness. And I like this description. It's not, I didn't get it out of the Bible. I got it out of the dictionary. But it's really, really, really felt good. And it says, it is typically defined as the process of concluding resentment, indignation, or anger as a result of perceived offense, difference or mistake, and or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. So, all of these perceived injuries, we've come to the point where we don't want any punishment or restitution for them. We've set them free. And it says over here and continued, this one I really like too. It says, Oxford English Dictionary says, defines forgiveness as to grant free pardon and to give up all claim on account of an offense or debt. So those are pretty good descriptions of what forgiveness is. We've taken them off our account. They don't owe us anything anymore. Paid in full. Okay, I've not done group deliverance before, so bear with me. I'm just gonna pray these over you without some formality. I just want to think about some things that have brought resentment in your lives. I think about those people that you need to forgive and let Jesus pay their debt in full to you, so that you're paid in full and you don't have to feel they owe you anything anymore. That person that you think, it don't have to be a whole bunch of them. I think we deal with just one this time. It's hard to get a whole bunch of forgiveness going for all of them. And that one that when you think of their name, it hurts you. It don't have to be you're mad at them. It could just hurt you. You resent them because you love them and they aren't returning the love. You resent them because they've maybe turned your back on you and you love them. And you want to be free to just love them because you know out of that, Jesus is going to make things right. Start forgiving them inside right now. Start forgiving them. And let Jesus take it. Don't say 100 times I forgive them. But let Jesus take it. Enter into His presence with it. Enter into His presence with it. And let Him take it. Say, Jesus, take this. You can have it. I can't forgive them on my own, but You can forgive them in me. Take it. It's Yours now. And I'm letting You have it. I'm letting You have it. And right now I want to speak into the eternity and the heavenlies and speak to that offense in you. And I want to say, I bind that offense right now in Jesus' name. I bind that anger, resentment, bitterness, and all that ugly stuff that's taken a hold of your soul and your mind and your heart and changing even the health of your body. Right now, I bind it in Jesus' name. And I tell it to go. I tell it to go. In Jesus' name. Call for a healing of your mind like it never happened. A healing of your body. A healing of your heart, a healing of your glands, of all your organs, a healing of your hypothalamus, healing of your pituitary gland, all those things that need to be healed that have been damaged by all this, right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. I just pull it out of you. I just pull it out of you. I just pull it out of you. I give it to Jesus right now. It's His. It's His. The Holy Spirit, come. Come. Fill that spot now. Fill that spot with Your presence. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up with Your presence. Clean them out, because this is a clean out. Clean them out, Lord. Right now, in Your name, Jesus, just clean them out. Lord, I just want to thank You right now for coming. I thought this was going to be impossible, Lord, but You brought it through. You already made it possible, Lord. I know that You love us and You want what's best for us, Lord. I just want to say, be with us the rest of the day, Lord, and let Your presence rest on us, and let this thing that You're doing show up. Give everybody here some peace and rest in their soul, Lord, of the things that are troubling them. Let them enter into Your presence and know that You love them and that they can just rest in You and worship You and praise You right now. That you don't have to bring all that with them. They're free of it for now. And You're going to set them free from it when they go home. You're going to set them, by the time they get out of here, they're going to be able to go home and feel the same way. Me too. I thank You and praise You for it, Lord. Amen. Right now, Lord, bless the food and just bless everybody for putting up with me for 2 hours. And I just thank You and praise You, Lord. Bless the food to our bodies, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.